Have you think for just a moment about what Christmas really means to you. We have a very special guest with us in our home this week. One of Sarah's sisters is home with us from the group home, and we are sharing Christmas, just the four of us together. But last night, as these young ladies got together, and one is 41 and one is 51, they said, "Where are the gifts?" This typical child, right? Where are the gifts? We said, "Oh, we don't put those out until Christmas morning so that you're surprised." Maybe you already have your gifts. Maybe Christmas means a dinner together with your family. Maybe it means traveling to other parts of our country to be with your grandparents or your children. Maybe it means the time to say goodbye to other people that probably would never see again. Maybe Christmas is those things that's all about decorations. I don't know how much you decorate in your house. Our house, we decorate very heavily. My wife has curtailed her decorations from six Christmas trees to four Christmas trees. But we celebrate together. We have a Christmas tree in our family room that has all got ornaments on it. They're at least 100 years old. They're all from our grandparents. We have a tree in our bedroom that is the photo tree, and it has all the pictures of our relatives, from our great-grandparents to our grandparents to our parents, and then to us, and then to our children. It's an awesome tree to see. And we always had a tree in our living room, and we decided to move that to our dining room. Because it's in the dining room, it's not appropriate to have decorations on it that don't pertain to dining. So this year, we have a tea tree, and it's decorated with teacups. If you can imagine the thought that has to go into that. But the testimony that says we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the awesome thing that we celebrate together. I have you think about that "but Mary" for just a moment. That contrast that comes there. "But Mary." Everybody else rejoiced. They said, "Oh, what an awesome news to hear. Did you ever hear such a thing? The prophecy's been fulfilled." And they're kind of amazed at it. First of all, they were scared to death, and then they're amazed, and then they share the testimony. So go and tell. Let us go and see, and then go and tell. That's the message of Christmas, right? But Mary. Quiet, meditative Mary. Treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what Mary did, isn't it? She treasured them. And you know, I want to ask the kids, what do you have in your pockets right now? Maybe your folks have to search. I remember when my children would go to church, and of course I was on the pulpit, so I couldn't see what was happening. But we always had to make sure the boys, we checked them over, because once in a while they'd put a little car in their pocket to play with in church. That was a no-no. I can remember when I was growing up, when we left home, we were given six peppermints, three white ones and three pink ones. And they had to last us for the entire church service. Now, the church service in those days went an hour and 20 to an hour and 25 minutes. So you had to time everything or you went without. But what do you have in your pockets? Maybe it's keys to tell the story of your car. Maybe it's coins that tell you the story of God's blessing in your life. Maybe it's those things that are reminders. A friend of mine who has gone to glory now, but he's a pastor, always carried a blue marble in his pocket. And everybody thought, well, that's crazy. And so when he would reach in his pocket to take out his change, he'd always have that blue marble. And then people would make comments like, "Oh, Jake has lost his marbles." And he said, "No." And they said, "Well, why do you carry a blue marble?" And he said, "This testimony of what God has done. That is what the world looks like from space. It looks like a small blue marble in the midst of God's wonderful creation. And my God made that. What a testimony, right? My father always had a little metal cross in his pocket. Just a reminder that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. But we can't carry everything in our pockets, right? I want to have you think about Mary had a heart pocket. And you and I have heart pockets. Mary treasured up all these things. And when you treasure things, it's the reminder of things that have gone before, right? You value stuff. You put stuff there that has begun in your life many, many years ago. And when I think of those challenges that come into our life, it's the testimony of what we have put into our heart pocket that really comes out, isn't it? When I think of the opportunities that you and I have for sharing the gospel, that testimony comes out again. But what do I have in my heart pocket anyway? It's stuff that I have carefully stored away. It's the values that I put on them. And part of that is God's word, right? Psalm 119, 105. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It was 55 years ago that I was given a text for my classical exam, which I had to preach on. It was Paul's thorn in the flesh passage from 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul prayed to God three times, Lord, take it away. Just take it away so I can minister more fully. And the answer came, no, Paul, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I therefore glory in my weakness that God may be praised. Little did I know that that verse would become the story of my life now. Praising God for the opportunity to give him the glory and not have it focus on ourselves. But what do you do as you treasure all these things? How much do you keep in there? What do you store? Maybe it's Bible verses. My wife was a faithful mom, and she taught all of our children who went through grade school in the Christian school and learned the alphabet, right? A friend, A, a friend loveth all times. B, be kind one to another. She knew all 26 of them. She'd say them with the kids all the time. And one of our kids said to her, Grandma, I bet you don't remember the alphabet, do you? And she said the whole thing again. Because what we treasure, we store in our hearts. The verses your children learn now will become the treasure house that they open as they get older. Maybe there are special verses in your life that stand out in wholesome understanding and wholesome meaning. Those things that have always meant so much to you, but it always comes down to the Word of God, doesn't it? When I think of the treasures that we have, I think of possessions we own, but they're only possessions. We have a lot of, we call them wonderful collectibles and antiques, and my kids call them junk. But the testimony is, it's not about that. Probably the awesomeness is, if I can give you the truth of the word, if I can give you that treasure that I have stored up in my heart all of my life, if I can share that value with you and help you to understand more fully that it's the awesomeness that I have, that I would not slip away from God. Probably verses that stand out in your life become more meaningful as you go through life. I can remember the treasure I have with our firstborn son. God had called two of our babies home to glory before we saw them. They were in the womb when he took them home. And so then we had our son, our precious son, and we were so rejoicing with him, and he choked. And we thought he was going to choke to death. And a nurse revived him. That's a treasure. Nobody can take that away. We had a little girl in our home for 16 years at the end of our foster care work. And Jordan Ann was paralyzed from the neck down and had a trach and a feeding tube, and she couldn't talk. She could shake her head no, and she could shake her foot yes, and that's how we communicated. But it's a treasure. When I think that what that little girl did, who could not move, and the impact she had on the world. Very few people saw her because she didn't quite often leave our home. But the cadets and the gems would come every year and sing songs to her at Christmas time. We had many visitors in our home that would come just to see Jordy, just to know the blessing of it all. But we had a nurse that came and said, you know, she was not a Christian. And she said, I don't do Sundays, and I don't go to church on holidays because I don't believe in all that stuff. So I will do all your holidays for you, and I'll do Sunday for you. And you can go to church and you can enjoy. Well, the rule in our house was when Jordy's worship, she's got Dr. Stanley on. And so you have to be here during the time. And while you're here, you have to have Dr. Stanley on for Jordy to hear. And Dr. Stanley was a Baptist preacher from the South. And so it would be on every Sunday morning. At first, she arrived just in time for 9 o'clock or 9 o'clock to start so she could get the bath done, and she would work on it all through the time that church was going on. It happened one time after about 7 months that my wife had to go home for something in the middle of Sunday morning, and she walked in, and Mary is sitting on a stool, glued to the television, taking down notes on the sermon that Dr. Stanley was preaching. For a little girl who could say nothing, who could not move, God used her to lead a sister to Christ. I don't know what's treasured up in your life, but I know one thing. The greatest gift I can give to my children and to my grandchildren is that you love the Lord with all your heart, that you love the Lord with all your mind, with all your strength, and that you treasure that until that day when Christ calls you home. Mary's beginning to put things together. Think about it for a moment. What do you think she put into that box that she had? What do you think she was remembering and giving thanks for? Think of the things that had taken place in her life. She was a young girl who was just part of Israel history. And every young girl at that time believed in the promise of the coming Messiah. And everybody would be told of the prophecy of Isaiah that a young maiden would conceive and give birth to a son. And they would call him the Son of God. And they would all live with that possibility. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. And then a treasure came when an angel came and stood in the very presence of Mary. And as she spoke, the first thing she said, don't be afraid. I got a message for you. You're going to be the mother of the Christ. That's a treasure. And I'm sure she never forgot it because she asked the question, didn't she? How can this be? How can this possibly be? I'm not with a man. And the testimony was, it's the God doing thing in your life. It was a treasure. But you don't tell people those things. You just keep them to yourself. And then she was sent as one of the family members to be with an older lady who was going to have a baby. And as she's with Elizabeth and she walks in the house, she gets the praise going forward that you're celebrating with me the promised birth of our son. God has given him to us. And the baby leaped in her womb and said to her, "Why has the mother of my Christ come to me?" That was a treasure. And then the confrontation with Joseph. What a thing it had to be gone 3 months to take care of this older lady, and to come back and to go to your fiance and say, "Honey, have I got news for you? I'm pregnant. And it's not from you. It's from God." Now you can imagine the trouble that Joseph had with that. If that were your girlfriend and she come and told you that, "You know, I'm pregnant, but don't worry about it. It's God's doing in my life. I was not unfaithful to you." He was troubled by it, wasn't he? And think of that, when you had to go through that hassle, will he believe me? What will he do to me? He could have had her stoned to death for infidelity. But an angel of God came to Joseph. And the story comes back, doesn't it? "Mary, God has blessed you, and I believe you. And we will live together, we will be married, and we will raise the Son of God together." A treasure. But you know how gossips are in small towns. They find everything to talk about. You can imagine what it was like when Joseph and Mary there, and she began to show, and everybody said, "You notice that she's showing already, and they haven't been married long enough to be that far along. Did you hear that stupid story that they tell, that it's not something from their own indiscretion, but it was a gift of God, and that God entered her womb?" What a dumb people they think we are, that we believe such a story. But you know, it becomes the key of the Scriptures, then, of the virgin birth. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called the Son of God." A treasure that Mary would keep there in her heart forever. It was awesome. It was gossip, but it was living through it all. And then that terrible trip. Can you imagine, ladies, that 9 months of pregnancy, riding 70 miles on the bony back of a donkey? You're not even comfortable riding in an air-conditioned cushion seat in a car. And here she had to do it on a donkey back. What a memory. And then get there, and you can't even find a place to sleep, and you have to go to a barn. Can you imagine that? Living in a barn? No place for Jesus. A treasure in the heart. Pondering those things, thinking about those things. No room for them in the end. The smelly stable. The birth of her son. And then the visit of the shepherds who come telling the story of the angels. The singing of the Holy of Holies in the sky itself. A testimony that she would ponder there and keep it forever, knowing that God had his hand in it all, and that he chose the most unlikely people to be a witness to the birth of Jesus Christ. Shepherds were not well thought of people. In David's day, it was a real profession. People were honored and they really gave thanks. And shepherds did their thing. It was back in 1989 that I was with a work group, and my wife was there with a bunch of other people from our church, and we were helping with a children's home. And right across the valley, there was a valley with a children's home on one side of the mountain. Across the mountain was another a farm, and we noticed every morning there was a shepherd with his staff in his hand, and he would walk out of the barn, and as he walked out, a flock of 50 sheep would follow him. He would take them out to the pastures. We could see where he went. He would sit there patiently all day watching over them. And at night he would make a sound and he would lead them all back to the safety of the sheepfold. But what a testimony to Scripture. He would be the shepherd of his people. He would walk with them through the awesomeness of it all. And you think of that witness that amazed so many. We have people today that don't believe us, don't we? When we tell them that we are born again in Jesus Christ, they're amazed that we could be so stupid to believe such a thing. But they do not know the reality of what eternal life is. They do not know the joy of what it's going to be when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, when we finally hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That testimony will stand forever. A witness that leads on to what God is doing in and through you and me. So what memories do you have? What testimonies do you have? Just had a memory that flashed in my mind of the first time that we were out on summer field work and we were in Terre Haute, Indiana. And we went down to Terre Haute, Indiana, a city of 90,000. It had been featured in the Saturday Evening Post, and it was listed as the Sin City of the Midwest. It had a horrible reputation. And as we were downtown passing out tracts and inviting people to worship, they would take it out of our hand and throw it on the ground and crush it with their feet. There was another man there that we met, and he's the man that just that memory just flashed in my mind. He was carrying an old movie camera at that time, and he was taking movies. And so I talked to him, and I said to him, "So what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm taking pictures of the evil of this city, and I'm going to show it to God on Judgment Day that none of these people are worthy of being saved." And I said to him, "You realize God already knows that? He doesn't need your movies to show him that." When you look at the world today, you wonder what's happening in the world. We don't have to tell God what's going on. He knows what's going on. But he will also give you grace sufficient every day. When you think about that, where did Mary store those anyway? You got boxes of treasures in your house? We got treasure boxes all over our house, stuff that we've kept from our childhood, stuff that we've memorized and put away because we want our children to have them. Things that we say, you know, someday you're going to laugh about these things. You're going to wonder why we save those things, because they were special treasures to us. But the greatest thing of all is to have that treasure in my heart. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. They will never be lost. They will never be forgotten. One of the things I have learned as calling pastor of this church is as I go from place to place and have spent a lot of time in the last years in memory loss units is that memory never fades. She was a member of our church. She was in her 90s. She was on her deathbed and she didn't know anything, and her kids told me, "Mom won't understand a thing you say. And we don't know if she even knows us anymore," and she didn't know them. And I came and I told her who I was, and she said, "Who are you and what do you want?" And I said, "I just want to read the Bible with you." And so you read a familiar passage. And I started to read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Her eyes blinked and she recited the entire psalm. That never failed. Man's memories may fade, but the word of God will never pass away. And I think of that often when I did her funeral later on, the testimony of what that could be to her children, to know that through it all, she didn't know them anymore, but she knew the Savior, she knew the shepherd. She knew what it was to know the Word of God. So hide it in your heart. Spend time with your children memorizing Scripture, helping them hide it in their heart. There's going to be days when people perhaps can't see any longer and they can't read the Bible anymore. But if they have that hidden in their heart, they can continue to recite the Word of God fully It's not something stored away in an old shoebox. It's not boxes that we stuff on a shelf and forget about. It's not those out of sight, out of mind things that we wonder why in the world we ever saved that anyway. When you store it in your heart, it's not just between your ears. It's not just in your head, but it's in the center of your being. When all this fades, the end of it all, the best thing is to say, I will be with my Savior. That's the awesomeness, isn't it? To know that all these things are nothing compared to the foundation of Jesus Christ. A treasure. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He was just a little boy. And he knew in his heart that he wanted to make a special gift to Jesus. And he said, I have to do it before midnight, because midnight is the birth of Jesus, and it has to be ready by then. And I don't know what I'm going to give him. And he thought and he thought. And as he heard the clock begin to strike midnight, he simply began to exercise. I know what I'll give him. I'll give him my eyes to see his creation. I'll give him my mind to think thoughts after him. I'll give him my hands to do his will. I'll give him my feet to go where he wants me to go. I will give him all things that Jesus Christ may be all in him. Think about it, Christians. Today is the day we celebrate when God stooped down and scooped us out of the mud and mire of our sin and gave to us the joy of life eternal. Let's pray together.